Hey everyone, welcome to the latest episode of Sass and the Beard. We have a lot of fun things to talk about this week, Kristen, but before we do, we just kind of want to give you guys a here's what's going on with us. As you can see, there are a lot newer items behind us. We have pretty lights. We've got some new equipment here, and we are just growing.
Like, yeah, week by week, we're just like getting fancier and cooler looking around here.
It's a lot of fun, actually. I've been very thankful for all of the support. I know we have been thankful for those of you who have supported us on Patreon. If you become a patron, we've got some fun ideas for those of you who have become patrons, videos of me doing TikTok dances, or maybe even a Arkansas politics podcast, like a historical politics podcast. Speaking of podcasts, you can subscribe to our podcast via all of the popular platforms. We just got on iTunes recently, so
yeah, we're like the real thing now. We're on iTunes. I was really excited about that, and so I subscribed to it on my podcast, even though I don't really listen to podcasts that much, just so that whenever I do accidentally open the app, it's like right there, and I feel really cool and legit.
So every time, for every week it comes a new one, you'll get a notification that you started a new podcast. Yeah, and that's what I love about the whole podcast idea, is that like, wait, that's us right there.
Yeah, I'm excited though. We're gonna get in here and talk about some like Arkansas history, something like political history, which I think is so much fun because we have some crazy drama. You know, I was sending you links about like the first legislator, the only legislator that was murdered on the House floor. Like, that's wild.
Right.
Another member of the legislature.
Yes, who didn't go to jail.
No. Yeah. And so, yeah, we're going to talk about stuff like that on the podcast. I'm really looking forward to it because I will nerd out all day.
Yes. And for those of you who would like to nerd out, subscribe to our podcast and you will get updates weekly from the show, but even more so for some additional content that we'll be posting about Arkansas local politics and statewide. Another thing, for those of you who are watching or listening, you can support our show via Cash App or Patreon, and the Cash App handle is Beard Sass, not Beard's Ass.
What's the same?
And we want to thank you so much for those of you who have shelled out some dough for this project for us. We are uncharted territory, and we're having so much fun doing it. And that being said, if you are a business and would like to advertise with Sass and the Beard on our show or other avenues through our Facebook page, and we are entertaining those ideas. So please reach out to us. We will have information for you regarding that pretty soon. If you're a business and want to advertise with us, please reach out to us. Now, to the important part of why our viewers are here.
Let's talk about local politics. Yeah. So, Russellville City Council, one of the issues right now they've been meeting about is pay raises for Russellville police officers at all levels, but most substantially for incoming, like beginning officers. And I was really excited to see this proposal. Mm-hmm. You've talked to some of the council members about this more than I have. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, and so in 2016 is when I, like 2017 really, was when I started on the city council, and we were discussing this back then as well, about a substantial pay raise to the entry-level officer base pay, because as far as recruiting and retention, it's probably the number one reason that people give as to why they don't want to be a police officer or they don't want to continue in being a police officer. And in our city at the time, there were like five, just from the county to other city to the Arkansas Tech and the state police, all entry-level positions made significantly more than the RPD. And so I think this is a very good step amongst the city council and the mayor to bring this discussion up because it's something I feel like has been needed for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really like the way that they structured it so that the biggest chunk of the raises is to be able to recruit new officers. And they had Councilman Keller shared with us a governor's report on that the biggest issue, like above and beyond,
yeah, like 95%
is the low salary makes it hard to get to hire and then keep officers. And you know, we've seen this national conversation happening around law enforcement and you know, ethics and race and just all of these very complex issues. And I think that if we're not going to talk about things like this, like paying people, that we aren't really going to be addressing some of those other issues, because it is kind of a fundamental, I mean, just of any business, that if you don't pay people well, it's going to be harder to get good people. And that's at any business, not just like, not one where you go out and have a huge risk to your life and safety.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's totally a job that should be paid well. Even at the higher ranks, the jobs that they had on there were still very, very reasonable salaries. So it looks like right now the current salary for a starting out new law enforcement officer with RPD is about $34,000 a year. And this would, over 5 years, get that base salary up to $41,000. So you're still not talking about a lot of money.
Well, over a five-year period, a 20% increase in the base salary is significant from the city standpoint, as far as like how many new, if you've got, you always have more of the base level officers, you hope that they all move, but you don't have more lieutenants than you do office, you know, base. So like there, you want that to be enticing enough for people to come and apply and try to get the job, and maybe even recruit from other areas. So if you've got good law enforcement around you in our county or state all across, and people want to move to this area to do that because they can make more money, that's a good thing. So and over a five-year period, it's not going to be a huge stressor to the city, and I think it's a good start in that regard.
Yeah, and you know, this is not an issue that's been decided yet. It's just starting to be kind of worked through at the council level. So I think if people are interested in this, it's a good time to reach out to your council members, to the mayor, and let them know how you feel about it. You know, the overall cost, I think, was about just a little under $380,000 for the full cost over 5 years to add in the salary, and about $150,000 each year. So kind of working it out as they build it in. And so,
in my opinion, the city spent more money on lesser value things.
But it's one of the things that we see happen like this, where, you know, this probably hasn't been dealt with since you were on council.
Right.
And nobody wants to be spending the money, right? Like, everybody wants to be fiscally conservative and not spend money, and that's totally fine. But when we come talking about, like, being able to hire law enforcement, this is just such an important issue that permeates so many aspects of our community.
Right. And in my opinion, especially at the time, it seemed like a no-brainer to discuss or to talk about, to promote from the city standpoint, to say, you know, we believe in our officers, we believe in law enforcement at every level, and we want to recruit good people that have criminal justice backgrounds, that have been to college, that have, you know, this type of mindset, that want to go through, because the city of Russellville provides extensive levels of training, as so much so that we lose a lot of our officers to the state police because it's the same training that the state police go through. So if we can't hold on to the people after working here for 3 or 4 years so that they can go work for the state, like, that, we need to be able to promote that and to say, this is a good thing that we're doing, even amid some of the national turmoil that's going on right now around these subjects. I think we should be able to say, we're doing this good thing for the people that we want to support in our community that are keeping us safe.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of keeping us safe, we've seen some announcements about the upcoming school year related to COVID and all of the concerns with that.
Yes.
You know, the likelihood that mask requirements will not be allowed in schools seems very high. There is a lawsuit in progress to challenge that new law that prevents schools from mandating masks. We also saw where Governor Hutchinson announced that he would be meeting with leadership in the legislature to revisit that issue, but don't really foresee the legislature like calling a special session to address this in the immediate future. I think we're going to have to rely on the courts to make that final decision. But we also saw where Dover reminded folks, we shared this on our page, that for students in school, if they are vaccinated, that they, if they come in contact with another child with COVID and they're not showing symptoms themselves, the vaccinated child wouldn't have to quarantine.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't know how many times y'all had to quarantine last year, but we had to quarantine. My daughter, the first day she went back to school face-to-face, ended up next day in quarantine.
Yeah.
So, you know, with the numbers where they're at right now, I think that's something we're going to continue to see if, you know, going into it, but...
Yeah, no, and we've seen reports where we're worse off this year with COVID numbers than we were last year, at least the increase in numbers. And it's very disconcerting with this Delta variant. We've seen two child deaths in the state as of a few days ago. I don't know if we've seen any more children, the deaths of children because of COVID. But children are contracting this variant of COVID more readily than they were previous variants. And so it's, I'm not going to lie, it's as a husband of a teacher and a first grader, you know, my daughter's a first grader. I'm concerned, you know, my son goes to daycare, you know, what are we going to do about daycares? And because they can't get vaccinated, you know. I'm vaccinated. My wife's vaccinated. Most of my family, if not all of my extended family, is vaccinated. And we don't want to have the... We're not trying to say right or wrong. You know, you make your own health choices. But at this point, we got to do something.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we... I think it's important to remember it's such a contentious issue,
yeah.
And it's become such a political issue, but really this is a personal health decision people have to make. And so I hope people are making those decisions with their doctor and
yes.
not using social yes. media as their
very
primary
much so.
Source of yeah. information there. But
like, do your research, go talk to your doctor, like not do your research on Google.
And it's okay to do your research on Google a little bit, but then check
or
with your
at
doctor
least
and
go
make
to
sure
Google.
That it's,
yeah.
that it's right, you know? Yeah. So it's, but I do think it's important that we at least try to have a little bit of graciousness. It can
yeah.
be really tempting to be like, well, all these people who aren't getting vaccinated are just stupid or whatever. But you know, people do it for very real reasons
because they
that
care
they're concerned about
mm-hmm.
for their future, their health, their families. And so, you know, we're all kind of in this together. And but yeah, definitely, hopefully people are making medical decisions with their doctors. I get to see often when the legislature makes medical decisions. That's always fun.
No,
shouldn't
be. Oh, yeah. we are going to be talking about the state legislature later. For those of you watching, if you have any comments or complaints or concerns or rebuttals or any of anything of note, hi, Glenn. How's it going? How's the chicken man?
Hey, Glenn.
We miss you, Glenn. We're thankful for your regular viewership.
Glenn's like our OG viewer.
Yeah.
He's like been with us since the beginning, and we really are grateful that anybody has put up with us for that long.
Back in the iPhone days,
yeah,
Glenn was still watching. Remember that? Now
I
we
do.
Got all this fancy equipment here, just hanging out.
Yep.
Every week.
Look
just
at us go.
Giving you guys the information. Before we talk about the state legislature, there's been some new development on whether or not a local slumlord is going to get in trouble for being a slumlord. I mean, we got in trouble for talking about the local slumlord.
We did. It's okay. We do stuff like that sometimes. Okay, so if you guys remember back, it could have been a few months ago, 3 or 4 months ago, that there is a boarding house or an apartment. It's basically like a large house. It's split up into 8 efficiency apartments. And the business license for that property expired. Mm-hmm. And so when Mr. Frankhouse was going to apply for a new license, they realized there were some zoning issues around that property and that it needed to be zoned differently, which would not allow it to be used in the way it is. So Mr. Frankhouse then appealed that to the circuit court. He filed a lawsuit saying that that was an inappropriate decision by the city. And just yesterday, the court actually dismissed that lawsuit because he didn't go through the process correctly. It wasn't dismissed based on any merit to his claim or lack of merit. It was really about that he should have gone to the Board of Adjustment first to appeal before he came to the circuit court. So, you know, for a nerd like me, that's stuff I love, like the like steps you have to take. And the judge said, you know, he couldn't even really remand it to the Board of Adjustment because it's a different arm of, or, you know, a different branch of government. Yeah. And that would be out of his mm-hmm. jurisdiction. So for right now, that case has been dismissed due to a lack of jurisdiction by the court. I assume we'll see that go back to the Board of Adjustment and then maybe back to the city council. If it's going to be, what I'm curious to see though, is what happens with this residence right now, because at the time when this came up, there were a lot of comments. There was a petition from local people who lived in the area around that particular unit, you know, a daycare that's across the street that had some complaints about the behavior of some of the tenants. And so, you know, I believe there was an injunction that allowed that property to continue to operate. But now that this has been dismissed, I don't know what will happen with that. It'll be curious to see how the city handles it because
he doesn't have a license.
Because he doesn't have a current license to operate it. Yeah. And they denied him that license, and then, but we still have people living there. And so, you know, it's a hard issue when you look at that, because there are people who are living there because it's what they can afford.
Right.
And it's hard to get into a place, you know, when you have to pay all the deposits and everything. And I hate to see people put out of the place they live. That's not a good solution necessarily, but for folks who live in that area, you know, they've had a lot of legitimate concerns and complaints about that property. And so I think the city's probably going to be hearing about this from folks, and I'll be interested to see how they decide to handle it.
Yeah, it is a sensitive subject because of the people who really don't have a choice, you know, in that situation. Yes, they could just up and leave and go somewhere else, or try to, but really the provider of their housing should be providing proper, safe living conditions so that they wouldn't be in this position in the first place. Mm-hmm. But so at this point, the onus will probably be upon the city to make a decision about what should be done. I mean, is that because he went through the legal system to try to correct or change what the city decided, and now the city has to basically enforce what they said?
Yeah, he can still appeal it through a different process, and I don't know all the steps mm-hmm. and rules of that process, so there may be something that allows him to maintain the property as it is as he's going through that appeal. I'm really not sure. But, you know, there's just a different process to take than going through the courts. Which really just drags this out longer. Now, there was also an issue that we shared previously about this same property owner, Mr. Frankhouse, being charged with a felony over allegedly removing property that owned to a belonged to a tenant and taking it to his property. Some
jet skis.
Yeah. That has not been adjudicated. There's not a decision on that yet. It's still pending in court.
He was taken into custody and then bailed out.
Yeah, I think he you know, came in himself mm-hmm. voluntarily to gotcha. Take care of it. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he was arrested on site or anything like that. But he was booked and photo and all that.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah, Debbie had asked a question about that. So, but as of right now, they haven't gone through the legal process of that.
Yeah, it's still in the works. So, so that's kind of the status on that.
We will definitely keep you posted on how that continues.
Yeah, I had
it's kind of a pet project of ours. Actually,
it kind of
right now.
It kind of is. I had it in my calendar on my phone calendar to pop up and tell me that there was this hearing yesterday, so that I could make sure to check it out. So, yeah, it's become a bit of a project.
Yeah. So, moving on from slumlords to state laws. You know, we had a really harsh, Kristen, you know more than most about the really hard session that we just went through with our state government. Are there any highlights, any positives that came from...
You should have prepared me if you wanted positives. I wasn't really ready for that. No, I mean, there are. There are some good bills out there.
We can drive faster on the interstate.
That was from last session. Oh. That wasn't this session.
Yeah.
You're trying to, like, live back to good memories, and that's not what we're working with here.
Well, we didn't do a lot of driving in 2020.
That's true. So some of the bills that are out there, one of the good ones I thought was about revenge porn. So basically, if you're in a relationship with someone and they have sensitive photographs of you that shouldn't be shared out publicly, if that were to take place, if someone does that, they can now be sued in the courts here in Arkansas. Good. So that's good.
Yes.
Porch pirating is another term I hadn't really used in my life before, but apparently, you know, we've all seen the videos, the doorbell videos or whatever, where somebody runs up on the porch and steals a package that had been previously a misdemeanor, but now
or like a jet ski
or a jet ski off the porch. Yeah. That had the ones that Amazon leave behind and this would make it a felony instead of a misdemeanor. So it could be up to 6 years in prison. Now for porch pirating, it's funny, these terms. So during session, we have this running spreadsheet where we make notes, because the organization I work with, we're one of the only organizations that we read every single bill that's filed. And
fun for you.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
And we have all the staff that works on it, and everybody makes notes in this spreadsheet. And I didn't realize, it was my first time doing this as the organization, I didn't realize that our board members would see that also during our first,
I thought it was just,
you know, I tend to be a little, I make funny comments or snappy comments. So there was this bill about massage parlors, and my note said happy ending massages are going to be illegal. And our board members saw that, and they were just like, whose comment is that? I was like, I have no idea.
I don't know who that was.
Who would say that? No idea. But so yes, happy ending massages are not allowed in Arkansas. If you're a massage therapist and get caught with that doing that, I think it can end your license permanently. And if you have, I think, a history of prostitution, you can't be licensed as a massage therapist. There was a lot of stuff around that. It's kind of funny sometimes when those kind of issues come up, because you can tell somebody got really fired up just in one place about it, and it's their pet project, kind of us talking about breakouts.
Well, and then there's the whole don't talk about these things in school.
The thing that I think we can all agree came out of this session is lawyers making a lot of money. Because most of this stuff is getting challenged in court. But yeah, there's these bills about, what kind of divisive concepts can be discussed. Right. And then there was concern after that was passed that maybe that would prevent people from talking about the Holocaust. So then they passed another bill that specifically says they have to teach about the Holocaust. It's really great when politicians get super, super involved in education.
Wait, we can talk about a really terrible time. We have to talk about a really terrible time in another country, but not in our own. If anybody ever calls me a snowflake again, there's just some of this stuff that maybe we can all agree that there are things that happened in the past, and nobody's blaming you for it happening in the past, but it did happen in the past. And so we could talk about it, or at least teach our children about, just so.
So all of these new laws go into effect tomorrow. And that's if there's not an emergency clause, then they go into effect 90 days after the legislature typically adjourns, in this case recesses, because they're coming back for redistricting. But so these bills all go into effect tomorrow. There's also a bill requiring annual training for law enforcement on when they have the duty to intervene in excessive force. So I think that's going to be interesting. There's lots of bills about COVID and preventing the state government from requiring vaccines, requiring masks, or requiring any type of vaccine passport, which when I was a kid, I think they called that an immunization card.
That you still have to have.
Yeah.
Like if you take your kids to school, you have to have that, you know? Mm-hmm. What is this? It says conscience bill.
The medical conscience bill, that was one that passed that was about not requiring a medical provider, and provider was a very broad term that included lab techs and, you know, receptionists and anybody associated with medical care, could not be required to participate in any kind of service that violates their conscience.
Yes.
And it was not very well defined.
Anti-trans.
It was one, yeah. Well, it was one of many, but it was very poorly worded. It's one of these bills that's being run by national groups. It's model legislation that you see pop up all over the country between different state legislatures, because some group has written this bill and then gone and pushed it out.
We've seen a lot of heavy laden partisan lobby groups writing bills and sending them throughout the whole, you know, not just our state, but many other states with similar numbers of partisanship.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's creeped into local as well. You know, we talked about a local Republican meeting or a local, like with a lobby group there, you know, arguing about a school board meeting.
Yeah.
You know, those are just, it's just things that you don't want to see in local politics. It sucks that it happens so much in statewide and national as well, but you know, because it's harder to get stuff done.
It is. It's frustrating. And, you know, we're going to see the legislature come back in September. We hope just to deal with redistricting, but they, I'll never forget in the last day of session, one of the senators said, well, you know, because the Senate president was saying, we're only coming back to address redistricting. And Senator Ballinger said, well, with all due respect, 18 legislators can do whatever they want. And I nearly cried because he was talking about coming back for session in like 2 weeks. And I was like, you can't do that. But it, but yeah, so I mean, we don't know what they're going to end up doing while we're there. We know there have been major talks about tax cuts for the top earners in Arkansas, which is, you know, it's just frustrating. I don't know. We
like
have
another one.
Yeah.
Because they
like
just
another
got
one.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. So I'm not going to get off into that tonight.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And.
We will come back to these conversations. So if you have, hi Polly, I see you've commented there on Facebook Live. If you have any comments or any questions about the things that are going on in our community, please ask them. We have pretty much come to the end of the things that we had planned to talk about this evening. But if there are any, we will stick around for a few minutes to kind of check and see if anybody has any questions or anything that they want to ask. There are some things that are hopefully going to be continuing in our community. Like we've seen things open up a little more with like downtown and Art Walk and other events, like the Music at Sundown was last weekend. And so hopefully, you know, as more people get vaccinated and cases, if they do start to go down, we can see more of our community out and about. We probably will be talking about several things coming up from Arkansas Tech to downtown road construction to... there was something else we had recently talked about that was like, we need to get in on that. So there's lots of fun stuff coming up for us to discuss, with you. And if we don't have any questions, I mean, I'm good.
Yeah, I think I'm good. I was thinking about that. You know, the only thing I didn't mention that's going on at the state level that I think people should pay attention to, this happened a few years ago, and I don't think it really made the radar that much if you're not a like super political person. But, you know, I don't know if you guys remember, we had this judge that went to jail for accepting a bribe. Or I'm not sure he actually went to jail yet. But anyways, there was an ex-lobbyist or an ex-legislator who was a lobbyist, Gilbert Baker, and he allegedly participated in bribing a judge in a lawsuit against a nursing home for a malpractice case. And that's all like going to trial now, finally. And this is a big deal in Arkansas because we have a huge history of this kind of dirty money politics happening behind the scenes, and people don't get caught by it very often. But this one is actually a friend of ours who's joined the show with us before, Matt Campbell, does kind of the same stuff we do, and he found this in public records and is the one who kind of busted it all out. So if you're not paying attention to the Gilbert Baker story in Arkansas, you really should be. It's wild, it's crazy, and it'll make you like a little sick about our state politics, but it's happening right now. They did have to pause it the other day though because one of the jurors tested positive for COVID. So you know, that's where Arkansas's at right now.
Yeah. Well, stay updated. Keep us on your radar. And if you have any interesting and fun things to talk about locally or in politics, you can always send us a message or here on Facebook or at our email, beardsass@gmail.com. Check out our website. Check out our podcast. Support us on Patreon and Cash App. We are so thankful for all that you do. Share this video with your friends, and we will see you guys again next week.